What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Obviously, they have the long inning yesterday. They score 9 runs, whatever the hell it is. They win by a lot. They beat them. They just crushed the Nationals. That third inning was crazy. So here would be my question. So Anthony Volpe, we know, is struggling.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a day where everybody's hitting. I mean, they were running. I know he made the 2 outs in the 1 inning, fine. But Aaron Judge hits a home run. They score 11 runs with Giancarlo Stanton red hot sitting. You get the good start from Free. Like, everything is good. And yet, the amount of Yankee talk I hear surrounding Anthony Volpe a day after they complete a sweep and everything went well, to me, is amazing. The fact that he got booed at the end of that third inning where the team just put up 9 runs. He hits a laser of a line drive in the first inning, right at the guy. Okay, fine. You know, the Phillies cheered Trey Turner to get him turned around. The Met fans cheered Francisco Lindor. And I understand this has been a horrible season for him in a lot of ways. But I also know he's 24. He's your guy. He came up through the system. He's from the area. Do we need to boo the kid in the third inning of a game where you just scored 9 runs and blew the doors off the net? Like, there's a time and a place. I don't know. I
thought it felt like overkill. And it's especially for a guy who you know is doing, and we kind of talked about this the other day, you anticipate and expect, you know, he's doing everything he can behind the curtain to just get back on neutral, right? You know, it's rough because when I heard the boos, and I just kind of like, whatever, that's just Yankee Stadium. But now, in a way, in reference to how you put it, it feels like because he's been the poster boy for all the Yankees' woes prior to these last couple games, like, I don't know if there's a way out. Like, I actually thought this.
Well, hit. I mean, the only way out is to hit.
Yes, but I also thought, in my train of thought, I thought the day off was, like, good.
Mm-hmm.
You're protecting him in a way. You know what I mean? Like, you're saving him from all everything he has to read or talked about. And then his performance yesterday, in the fashion of the way the Yankees dominated, I was really hoping he got something going, right? Just to kind of like, all right, he's out of this rut. It didn't happen. But it's hard to tell Yankee fans when or not, you know, when to boo and when not to boo. You know, it's not going to happen.
And I'm not telling, they can do what they want. They booed Derek Jeter. I'm sure they booed Mickey Mantle back in the day. I understand all that. My point is time and place. It's 11-1.
Yep.
Your offense was just basically on the field for an hour. It was unbelievable. Yeah. You had a pitching change. The other guy comes in, he's walking the ballpark. You get home runs, base hits.
And that, I forget the pitcher's name. He had the bat. Because the catcher got hurt,
yes,
for the Nats.
With the catcher's interference.
Right.
So,
which is, I thought, okay, man, I'm not trying to be a hardo. I saw the bat hit the glove.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't like he took his hand off.
No, but I think you dismiss the velocity of the swing and where the, you know, I know what you're saying. I think it's.
I watched it twice.
I know.
It wasn't like he took a hard chop at it. Like, he just followed through the swing. It hit his glove, hit the thumb part of it. And I'm saying to myself,
but that's right, it.
That's it. Like,
that's it. It hit the thumb part. Like, it still hurts.
He
could have stayed out there. I get it.
It wasn't. Like, I've seen guys dislocate their leg, pop back in place, and finish a game. Like, I've seen things.
It's a different sport, Willie.
I get that.
But I've also seen guys take a puck to the face, get stitched up, and go back out there.
But, Jerry, we're like, this is the pros, right?
Have you not watched Don Carlos Stanton the last 7 years?
Yes, I get that. Limitations.
I mean, no, I mean, a lot of these guys, and, you know, people will
say,
well,
stuff just seems like.
I agree with you. I think it's a lot of these guys can fight through, and years prior.
But I said something about basketball. When I see some of these dumb injuries in basketball, I'm just like, dude, like, damn the money. Your dad's watching.
Right, we got to talk about Luka at some. I'm going to write this down because we've got to talk about Luka Doncic at some point. Based
but do you
on
get what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
At some point, I remember growing up and being terrified of getting hurt in front of my dad because I felt like I was going to disappoint him. Like I was going to be less in his eyes, and I couldn't be
like coming out of the game because you were hurt.
No, not that, or just like in the playground. You know what I mean? Like if I fell or ran, like did something crazy, I just felt like if my dad saw this, he's going to be like, you're not the warrior I'm raising. You know what I mean? I just had that. So when I see pros get hurt from nonsense, it's just like, your dad's watching. So that's my connection to it. And I get some injuries happen that we just don't know about, so maybe he's battling something. I get all that. But some stuff I'm just like, come on now, bro. Get back in the game. Like, let's...
I get it.
No.
I understand.
So that was a moment I was just like, and then I saw the picture up there. He's like, I should not be here right now. but he had the bet.
They look like the Nationals yesterday look like the Washington Generals to the Globetrotters yesterday.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like.
They look like they stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. They look like
they want to get the hell out of here.
100%. The whole, you looked at the bullpen, they were just like, dude, however we can wrap this up, let's get the hell out of time.
And then, you know, it's funny how things work because you were talking about, either it was yesterday or Tuesday, I don't remember it, but, you know, you want to see the progress. You want to see the work to, you know, change maybe the mindset of the fans. At least you know they're putting that work in. Susan, when I was driving back from Long Island, she was telling a story yesterday about Ben Rice. Mm. And how
he's been playing,
how
well.
Good the swing looks. Yeah. And she said, I don't think she specified the actual night or the game, but she had mentioned a game prior, one of the night games prior, that when she was leaving the ballpark, midnight, Ben Rice was in the tunnel working on his swing.
Look at that.
At midnight, on a day where you figure a 7 o'clock game, he's probably there by 2:30, and he wasn't happy with his swings, and for an hour after the game, it's just rep after rep after rep.
But that goes back to what we were talking about. If that gets reported and that's Volpe in the tunnel, we now come back and say, well, the kid's in the dumpster, but he's fighting, right? Like, we kind of take the bite off him a little bit. And then I think you made a good point. That's a PR thing, right? If he's a homegrown kid, we know a 24-year-old kid who's really trying to figure it out, the team is starting to come together. If I'm Boone, I'm like, hey, man, if you see this guy out there working extra while everybody else is kind of heading toward the parking lot, maybe this helps him in some type of way. Maybe those boos don't happen yesterday, as you mentioned. Because he did rip one to third. It was just an out, right? So,
and even the line drive, I mean, it wasn't exactly the hardest line drive, but you hit a, you know, you got to hit him where they ain't. I mean, he hit a couple of balls yesterday. You know, you watched the Met game, and they had a lot of, you know, even the night before, you know, a lot of ground balls that find holes. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the greatest swing in the world, but you find a spot where
just get it in play.
Even the game winner the other night that the Mets had.
Right.
You got a drawn in infield and the ball is poked the other way. If they're playing normal depth, it's an out. But because of the circumstance, it wasn't. Baseball's a funny game. You know, I know it's been a bad season. I also know the power numbers have been there for him and he's been streaky. I would never tell you not to boo. Go for it. I just thought yesterday was not the time.
I agree. I agree with you.
And especially you're finishing off a sweep. You feel, you know, and think about this too. The sweep started with, as bad as those first three games were with Boston, and they were, they did a nice job Sunday avoiding that sweep. You come back with three straight like you were supposed to do. You have some, word of the day, momentum again. I don't know. Just kind of enjoy it. And maybe getting out to Chicago will be the best thing for him to get away from the home crowd for a little
city.
While.
I agree.
So, but all overall, though, you know, it's funny. I was out there with Sal yesterday, and I got there around noon. And as we got there, we got the Yankee lineup. And maybe even a little before that, Sal was talking about it. And my first thought was, I think, just like a lot of people, like, why is Giancarlo Stanton sitting when he is just red hot, like scorching right now?
Especially the other night when he kind of hinted, like, let me out. Like, let me go.
Yeah.
Right? And boom.
And talking about feeling better because he's playing the 100%.
Field. 100%. So when I saw Bellinger and Wright, I was just like, I thought the same thing. I'm like, Big G's hot right now. Why is he? Let him rip. Especially, I think, from a ball player standpoint, like, you know, nobody knows your body like you. You know when you're kind of either pushing through or you're in a good spot. after the performance he had yesterday, or last night, the other night, it seemed like his confidence. It seemed like he's like, no,
he's there.
Yeah, he's there. Like he's in a groove. So I don't know if that's something he should have tugged on Boone's shoulder or on Pants. I'm like, hey man, let's not.
Two things there. Number one, we don't know how he was feeling. Maybe after a couple of days in the field, maybe he needed a day. I don't know.
Yep.
We don't know that. We also can't complain when the team puts up 11 runs. Yeah. Like, had they gone out yesterday, even though they won the series, had they gone out and lost the game, let's say 4-2, mm-hmm. and the offense was kind of feeble, and you sit in this guy, you got a case. They sit him, kind of complaining, and then they go out and
they
do
go
that.
Crazy. Yeah. I got you.
And good to see Judge with the back-to-back home runs with Bellinger, but good to see Judge kind of, you know, get back a little bit too, because if he gets going, could you imagine how scary this lineup would be if you've got him and Stanton hitting at the same time? We talk about the Mets all the time.
Yep.
If those two are hitting at the same time, I mean, what do you do if you're an opposing pitcher?
I mean, it was a stat that popped off that I heard yesterday. I think our outfield, all over 25 home runs. I think Bellinger has 25.
Yeah, probably.
Judge is up there.
Grisham, yeah,
they're all.
Makes sense. They hit a lot of home runs.
It looked crazy.
What was it, four in the one inning?
It looked
yesterday?
Like a video game yesterday. At some point, I was like, this feels like abuse.
That is what they are capable of.
Yeah.
And so we saw it yesterday. Fun to watch. Yankees complete the sweep, and the Mets do the same as well with the Phillies. When we come back, we'll get CeeLo in again.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Now, Yankee fans, you might not want to hear it. Yeah, I got to have a little conversation about this MVP award with Judge and Cal Raleigh. We'll do that. 888-808-1019. Back to these Met calls out of the shoot and the energy and just the swag and the juice that Vientos provides. There's just a different feel when he's hitting well. And he's on a tear and makes the Mets look and feel a little different. I would say this quickly about Schlittler, who, I mean, listen. He looks like he belongs. And I told you the story when I was in the car and I was dropping one of my kids off at a practice or picking them up. It doesn't matter. I was in the car like I am every day at practice. And I heard Susan's pregame interview with the scout who followed Schlittler and also found Ben Rice. So it was really good interview. And I wound up texting Susan, and it was a great spot. And pertaining to, because the Rice story was totally different, but I'm not going to veer into that now from that scout. But about Schlittler, it was about his makeup. And his dad up in Massachusetts is, I don't know if he's still on the job. Is he retired? Probably not, because Schlittler's young, so his dad's probably still working. But he was like a chief of police, or is chief of police. So you know he's coming from, you know, a household where, you know, you're gonna work hard. You're gonna do the right thing. And most of the time, you're going to try to do the right thing, and you're not gonna be coddled. You're gonna be pushed a little bit. So I think he's got some innate toughness because of his dad. Number one. And then you look at his body, and he's incredibly lanky and long. So, and they've talked about this on the broadcast. The ball's on you. Not quite like Randy Johnson, who was even taller at 6'10", 6'11". But when you have that kind of, you know, reach and wingspan, I mean, honestly, the ball's on you quicker because it's just coming out at a place closer to the batter. That's common sense. And he throws gas. We know that. 98, 99, dials it up whenever he wants to. He's got stones. That's apparent. My favorite part of his game from a repertoire perspective is his curveball. Now, I know that he stumbled upon a cutter late as well. I think during the spring. And that's one of the things that the scout was talking about with Susan. But his curveball, I don't really know who it compares to. I mean, I'm thinking of some, I'm not even saying, like, I don't want to go nuts and say it's an all-time curveball, but I'm thinking of, like, I don't really remember Burt Blylevin. I was a little bit too young when he was in his prime, but I remember him always being lauded as having one of the best curveballs of all time. You know, Doc Gooden's, when Doc came up, it was that legit 12-6 off the table, north-south. Schlittler's is sharp. It's almost got, like, a slider bite to it. So he's got nasty stuff. And, you know, where does it go? Who knows? How healthy is he? I don't know. You know, would they trade him at some point in the offseason for like a superstar? I hope not, but probably not, but you never know. But I can see this October, because the Yankees are going to get there. They're not going to win the division, but they'll get there. I can see Schlittler going out there against whomever. Toronto, the Astros, the Tigers, the Red Sox, and going six and giving up very few hits. And if he's got his plus-plus stuff, maybe give it up no runs. Like, he has that kind of stuff. So that's a great development for the Yankees. Really, really good. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Marcello or Marcello? How are we saying those? That second C? What do we got?
Marcello, how you doing?
It is a soft C. What's up, Marcello? How are you, buddy?
Everything's good. Everything's good. I live in Miami. I'm from Queens. And that last caller just made me flip. I'm a Mets fan, too. And look, I know you're a Yankees fan, but I love your takes because you have good baseball takes. And I don't know any Mets fan who was defending Vientos after the All-Star break or throughout the whole season. He was a liability on defense. He wasn't hitting the ball. And I work at the airport over here in Miami, and all my Mets fan friends, we were all saying the same thing. Let's trade Vientos. Let's try to get some good pieces together.
Yep.
But
That was pretty much not everybody, to be fair, but that was the general consensus. Because the other aspect, and I'll let you finish, Marcelo, but you know, when I look at a youngish, I think he's 25. Half 25, Vientos sound right? I think he's 25. Thank you. Well, so that's still fairly young. He hasn't played a ton at this level. I look at, no, not just could you hit, but, you know, what's your upside on defense? I don't think he'll ever be a good defender, and he obviously does not run well at all. So he's, you know, a plus defender, no chance. Average defender, maybe. You know, speed, always going to be below average. So if he's not hitting, the value goes way, way down. And, yeah, I was open to trading him, but I was also, coming into the year, one of his staunchest supporters. So is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to change your mind. You know, we're not going to have the same idea every week, every day, you know, so it's okay. Like, things happen.
Yeah.
But my original point was, I've noticed this season, I called earlier, I thought the season was over. I was comparing it to 2007, and I mixed up Sal and Hawk, so I apologize again for that. What's it called? I really don't think that it's like 2007 anymore. What I feel like now is, like, we're losing to the teams we should be beating. And we're winning to the teams, we're winning against better teams, like the Phillies and the Dodgers. We put on better performances against those teams.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have 30 games left, I'm thinking if we get a good run together and we know as a team that we can beat these playoff matchups, you know, if we take this energy into the postseason, anything can happen. I'm still more pessimistic than optimistic, but yesterday was a great sign for me.
It was a good win. Marcelo, good call. Appreciate you checking in from Miami on the Free Odyssey app. Good stuff. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. No Sal. Today's back tomorrow. Now, this is, it's an early read, but, I mean, that's what I have to do based on the circumstances provided. If you get, let's say, whether it's the Philly, whomever it is, right, a playoff series, Dodgers, Pirates, Phillies, whatever, Brewers, like, you look at a Peterson, if this keeps up, I don't know how you don't give McClain a start. And, you know, even Holmes, who's not going to give you length, but generally gives you, you know, competitive starts. I mean, that's a really good starting three, which is why the Manaea Senga situation is, I don't want to say it's less dire with the unveiling of McClain, but just imagine if there was no McClain. Like, if there was no McClain, if he was either just not here or not called up or not as good, I don't know how you get to a place mentally where you're like, oh, yeah, I could see this Mets pitching staff being good enough to beat a good team in a short series. That, to me, is an irresponsible leap of faith. That's just being a fan, and that's fine. But to me, it wouldn't be rooted in enough reality to really latch onto that, for me. But now, I mean, McClain, the kid's presence and the kid's stuff is tremendous. It's tremendous. And I've always loved Peterson. And what I just said about Holmes applies here. So even if you don't get Manaea finding, his stuff or Senga getting better, you still got a puncher's chance, provided the offense carries the mail and Vientos doing what he's been doing lately is a massive thing. Let me get Anthony in Freehold, BT and Sal on the Fan. What's going on, Ant?
BT, what's up, brother?
Oh, good. How you doing, dude?
Good, good, good. I mean, last night was such a great win. I'm a diehard Mets fan. But what I really like is, obviously, Vientos is finally proving to the people that seemed so crazy this whole season, like me, who said, how can you give up so quickly on this guy who hit 27 home runs last year and put the team on his back during a playoff run? That was the first guy people wanted traded over Acuna, over Mauricio, over Beatty. It was, no, let's pick the one guy that had the stones to go into the postseason and trade that guy. Why the hell would it be him? He was the only guy that showed, hey, I could play in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, that's the chip that you keep that guy.
Yep.
So I'm so hyped that you got the chance to keep the Vientos. Stearns, you got to give him props there. He could have traded him for a bag of peanuts.
Yep.
You kept the Vientos. It's working out.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, the Mets have always had a DH problem. You're right. The Vientos can't really field. He can't run. He's a DH.
Yep.
So, that's our DH. I love it. I'm happy. And great show, BT.
I appreciate it. And thanks for the call there. Yeah, I mean, just to go back to what you said about, you know, the Acunas and Mauricio, Beatty lesser extent. I don't want to speak for others, but I would imagine the reason, well, first of all, Vientos wasn't playing well at all, and he doesn't run, he doesn't feel. We know that, right? So there's already a very identifiable limitation to his overall game. He's just a hitter, and he wasn't hitting, and he didn't seem to be hustling either, which was even more problematic, and that's why I was confused by his start. But like the Mauricio love and the Acuna love, Beatty a little lesser because he doesn't have the, he's not fast like Acuna. Those guys seem to be a little bit more toolsy. And I know that, you know, that's what a tool. Yanks have a ton of guys with tools, and it doesn't always work out. Most times it doesn't recently. So I don't get overly enamored with tools, but if you got three or four young players, the sensible thing to do generally would be to gravitate to the ones with more tools because there's a greater chance they will be able to influence the bottom line. When you got one tool and it's hitting and you don't hit, you've got no value. When you've got three or four tools, you can play second, center, third, whatever it might be, in Acuna spot or Beatty or Mauricio, big-time arm coming back from injury, lefty stick. Like, I think that's why people are like, okay, maybe Vientos just was a flash in the pan last October. What he's proving now is he's not. And when he hits, the Mets feel different.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurice's, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Ben Rice, 3-for-5 with a home run. Judge, 2-for-4 with a home run. 2-run bomb straightaway center field. And Bellinger went 3-for-4, a home run. So the meat of the Yankees order, 8-of-13, 3 home runs, 5 runs, 4 RBIs. And when you're looking for the meat for your order, choose Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905. Who doesn't love a little Boar's Head cold cuts? I'll tell you that. There was nothing like watching Dove back in the day at Astoria open up his Boar's Head cold cuts for his breakfast.
They weren't Boar's Head because Boar's Head's not kosher, but there were kosher breads.
And you had the avocado. You had everything. It was an amazing eating experience at the old Kaufman Astoria Studios, Dove. You know that,
it's
right?
It's been transferred here, too.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't.
Moose, he's legitimately eating an avocado as we speak.
Oh, does he have the bagged avocado?
It was in a bag, but it wasn't it wasn't a bagged avocado.
It was a regular avocado plus some guacamole to give it a little flavor on some matzah.
There you go, Dove. I mean, you're a legend. I mean, you are a legendary FAN personality. Paul in Monmouth Beach is up next in the fan. What's going on, Paul?
Thanks for taking my call. Again, we're talking about Anthony Volpe. Why don't they correct the problem? All right. As long as he continues in his little league stance, one of two things are going to happen. He's either going to hit the top of the bat, which is a pop up, or he's going to hit a ground ball if it hits the bottom of the bat. And occasionally, like a blind squirrel, like he did yesterday in his, I think it was his third at bat, he hit a long fly ball to left field. What? To me, that corrects the problem. If the Yankees are going to stay with them, where's the batting coach? Pitchers now know they're throwing 95-plus. All you have to do is throw it letter high, and that's what's going to happen, ground ball or a pop-up, because he has to rise up from his stance. And nobody's trying to correct the problem.
The idea that you don't think the Yankees are trying to correct any kind of problem. I mean, I think they're working with Anthony Volpe. It just has not connected, right? So we can look at the way that he approaches the launch angle, the fact that, you know, the swing is maybe too, is not flat enough, but that's where baseball is nowadays. It really is. I don't think his approach at the plate is particularly good. Listen, I also think it's been, sometimes seasons get lost. I also think, like, Anthony Volpe probably needs a little bit of a reset and a mental break. He's clearly taken his offensive struggles into the field. He's been on the attack. He's got sent to, been sent to the bench for a couple of days, came back. He's 0 for his last 8. His on base percentage is .269. He's barely hitting over .200 on the season. So you can focus in on the home runs and the power has been there. I get it. I mean, when I was growing up watching Major League Baseball, I mean, when guys were hitting like .205, they weren't everyday players. You know, it's all changed. And like to an extent, I get it. To an extent, I don't. Like, I really think putting the ball in play and action and making guys go out there and do their jobs consistently, I think it's going to be to the benefit of the team that's up at the plate. The penchant for the strikeout not being a big deal, I think, is kind of mind-boggling when you look at Major League Baseball and the approach that you get in today's day and age. But, yeah, I think we're reaching a point here where if you're the Yankees, even despite how much you have defended him and how much you have told you how great he is or that he's going to find it or we believe in him or he's still our everyday shortstop or, yeah, I don't understand why he threw to second base, but, you know, it's still a bit, you know, and it rationalizing out bad decisions on the field, you know, you're going to come a point in time where you're just going to say, well, maybe we have a better option now. If we're trying to win this year, if we're trying to get back to the Fall Classic, if we're trying to win a World Series this year, and just realize and wash your hands and say, well, maybe we need to begin again with Anthony Volpe going into next year. Not that you're turning a blind eye to him, not that you're saying that it's over or that his Yankee career is over, but just for the here and now, it just is not good enough.
Yeah, I agree, but I still think that stance of his, he's had the same stance. The stance is good, it worked, but pitchers are smart. Pitchers are smart, and they know he was hitting before. They changed their strike zone on him.
But you could look at, there are other guys that have a penchant for swinging at, you know, fastballs upper part of the strike zone, even though they have nothing to, and they can do nothing with the pitch because it's tantalizing and pitchers know that. So, if you're looking at the stance, I'm looking more so at the approach. And what kind of hitter, and what you deem to be a successful plate appearance, and what is failure, and what do you emphasize with your hitters? DJ in East Brunswick is up next to the fan. What's going on, DJ?
Hey, what's going on, Moose? How are you?
I'm doing well, DJ. How are you?
Another day. So a few callers back at you were talking about quarterbacks, and it made me think. I've thought this for a long time. The traditional quarterback is gone. You know, it's just this new wave of quarterbacks that just want to run. Nobody wants to really slide or move up in the pocket as much anymore. I mean, it sucks to think about that it's like this, but I don't think we're ever going to see a true Peyton Manning, Drew Brees again.
I don't know if ever. I think I don't think you're going to see them. I don't think that's going to be your prototypical quarterback. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to say you'll never see that guy again because I think talent is talent. And I think if you've got the arm talent, you can go out there and make throws. You can throw into tight windows, throw guys open, throw under pressure, step up in the pocket, realizing you're taking a hit, going to go out there and deliver the football, have got the arm strength and the size to be able to do it. The game slows down, understand where you need to go with the football before the ball is snapped, understanding what the defense is doing. Like all those things that we talk about, what a quarterback needs to do in the National Football League. I just think when we've defined the quarterback position from 20 or 30 years ago, that definition of the quarterback and what you're looking for in the National Football League is significantly different now than it was, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. All right, Moose, thank you for the call. Let's go Mets.
Yeah, you got it. Let's go Mets. You should be excited about that. But, I mean, it doesn't mean that, there won't be that kind of prospect that comes along that is too good to where you're going to say no as an organization just because they don't necessarily have the great movement outside the pocket. But more often than not, you're looking at NFL teams, they're looking for guys that can be able to move, throw on the run, throw off platform, move the pocket, can scramble for first downs, athletic, like all the things, moxie, confidence, everything, be a leader, be a captain, be one of the faces of the team, but also be able to deliver the football when the pressure's on. So there's a lot that goes into it. We know when we go through the NFL draft process over the years, there's a lot of teams that swing and miss and how they look at quarterbacks, how they grade them out. And we've seen a lot of first-round failures. There's no doubt about it. And that, honestly, is going to go out there and continue because teams have a very difficult time of being able to look at college football, looking at a prospect, and being able to figure out whether or not he can or can't transition to the National Football League successfully.
So Andrew played the Cal Raleigh home run.
Yes.
Number 50. Amazing season. Now, some people will sit there and say, you know, this has come out of nowhere. Not really. I mean, if you look at Cal Raleigh his last couple of years, he had, I think, 30-something home runs last year, drove in 100 runs, had a really good season. But 50, which could turn into 60 home runs this year and could be 135 RBIs, is another level compared to last year. Now, you can take it a couple of ways. One, it's just a good year. Two, it's a building block. Like, you know, what he did 2 years ago and then last year was building towards this.
Mm-hmm.
Or three, this is what he's going to be. I don't know. But it's been pretty cool to watch from afar. So then you think about some of the other crazy seasons in sports. All right? This is a good time to do this real quick. I think everybody would say Brady Anderson and the 50 home runs with the Orioles that 1 year came out of nowhere. And I'm not comparing these to Cal Raleigh because, again, he's been really good.
Yep.
But I think 35 to 60 would be pretty wild. So Brady Anderson had the 50 in 1996. Everybody always wondered about that. Kevin Mitchell, I don't remember this. Kevin Mitchell in 1989 had 47 home runs and 125 RBIs. Then when you take it to a couple of other sports, how about Peyton Hillis in 2010, 1,650 combined yards for the Broncos and 13 touchdowns.
Yep.
And that was like...
He went on a tear. That's how he ended up on the Madden cover.
But wasn't that like a one-and-done type of deal with him?
No, he had a good stint with the Broncos and Browns.
But to... Okay, but to that level?
He had a bit of a tear. Yeah, I don't think it was... He had a good little run where his name was ringing bells for a while.
And I do remember the Madden cover, so yeah. I totally understand that. Mike is on the air. What's that?
No, Jerry's right. He had a couple of, like, okay seasons where he was a usable player, but outside of that 1 year with the Browns, he never even eclipsed 600 rushing yards.
Yeah, but that was because of injuries. He started getting dinged up pretty good.
Okay, so yeah. It was more his playing time got knocked down. Right. Interesting. Yeah. So that was his 1 year. Then I'll give you a couple outside the box that I did not realize at all. Jonathan Chichu. Remember him from the San Jose Sharks? I don't know if you watch hockey or not, but he had 56 goals in 05-06. Never had more than 27 in a season.
Mm.
That's pretty stark when you see that change. And then Bernie Nichols, who I was very familiar with, always was a goal scorer. But when Gretzky went to L.A. and they teamed him up, he went to 70 goals. So that's a pretty, pretty big stretch as well. The question I would have with Cal Raleigh, he plays a position that's physically demanding.
Yes.
He is a switch hitter, so that does help. Clearly, I would think, I can't expect him to hit 60 home runs again next year. But is Cal Raleigh a...
MVP?
He's in the conversation, 100%.
Sure. Yeah.
Is he now a 45 to 50 home run guy every year? Like, is he that good? He might be.
He might be. I think I'm interested to see how he fares in the conversation as far as MVP. That's where I'm most interested.
I would think I would have to look at where the, if I go to one of the sports books to see, I would think he's got to be leading. I mean, maybe not. I mean, Judge for a while was right there, but then he got hurt.
Yep.
And he's been not as good since. He usually takes some time to build back up. Certainly a big September, we'll be thinking about him. Bobby Witt Jr. hasn't had a great season. He was one that people talked about earlier in the season or when the season began. I'd have to look to see who would be in the running, but he has to be right there at the top of the list. I'd be surprised if he wasn't.
I think you made a good point for a guy that's having a tremendous season. For the fans not to show up in droves for him.
Well, it's so funny.
That was like...
So funny
I thought about it, I was like, Jerry's right. Like, there's not much going on for you. I mean, the manner is a battle, and we understand that. But this is the one moment in the sun where the fans should be coming in droves to support this guy, and you didn't see anybody in the stands. Barely anybody.
Someone sent me... I guess we ticked off somebody in Seattle with that comment yesterday.
Oh, really?
Which was kind of a backhanded compliment. I mean, if you remember, we were talking about, you know, they usually draw well when they're playing. Well, yeah. It was surprising to see on a gorgeous Sunday, the stands that we saw in the replay looked relatively empty in the upper deck. Not empty, but there were a lot of seats available, though it was officially 42,000. Yesterday, against the Padres, the official attendance, 27,000. That, to me, is low.
Yeah.
That, like, to me is incredibly low. For a team that's 10 games over 500, have played well relatively consistently throughout the course of the season, and you got a guy that's chasing 60 home runs.
Wait, where is he at right now?
50.
50. I mean, he has a chance.
50 with 5 weeks to go in the regular season.
Right, but he also has a chance to break Ken Griffey's record. I think Ken Griffey is at 56, right?
And that's, I know he did a post-game on the field interview, and they were talking about Griffey. I think Griffey's the only other Mariner that had 50 in a year, and so he's going after Griffey.
The hell with Griffey. He's going after Judge's AL record.
Maybe. Possibly, but before I'm going to entertain that, you got to get to 60. Yeah, just, you know, there's still a few more to go.
But the fact that 60 is not out of the question, right? And it's like, if you're a Mariners fan, like, you should be flooding to see this guy break history.
And by the way, playing a really good team in the Padres that's star-studded.
Yeah.
And so, I just checked. So every major book right now, FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, Caesars, they all still have Aaron Judge's favorite to win MVP.
Favorite?
Cal Raleigh's second.
Really?
Right now?
In the minus 155 to 165 range. Raleigh's anywhere from even money to plus 125.
And to me, that, like, 4 weeks ago makes total sense. The way the last month has gone for Judge, though, with the injury and then the down production, that's surprising.
And
to
the
me.
Teams have almost jumped. Identical records.
That, too. Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. But they're only a game ahead of the Mariners, right?
No, I get that. Yeah. I understand that. But assistant, 50 home runs, and Judge over, because of the last 5 weeks is why I would flip them. But that is interesting.
Let me get back to you. How about Joe and Valley Stream on the Fan? What's up, Joe?
Hey, BT, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's going on?
Okay, I'm question for you. If you're given the option next year of either doing five for 160 to a Bellinger, or let's say four for 80 to a Grisham, what are you doing? I'll be honest, I'm petrified, and I know that this is not a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
I'm just petrified with Bellinger of another DJ. A situation where he's great year one, and then he just breaks down.
Nah.
Now he's past 30. I happen to love Grisham.
Yeah. All right, first of all, the body type is totally different. Even when DJ LeMahieu was young, he wasn't bouncy. Like, Cody Bellinger's an elite. If you watch the Yankees, you've heard them say it all year. He's got he's one of the five fastest guys down the line from home to first in baseball. So he's different physically. Right. You know, and the other thing, too, obviously, Joe, you can't predict health here. I'm not going to sit here and say, the Yanks are going to – and I want them to retain Bellinger. I'm with you on that. If it's 5 years, 4 years plus an option, five plus an option, I don't know what it would be. I can't guarantee health. I'm not going to do that. But what I can guarantee, if he's healthy, for at least most of that contract, he's going to be an elite plus defender at several different spots. Now, here's the thing. Like, now, Trent Grisham, to me – I mean, the value in Grisham, and he is having a really good year in terms of power. Even the average is up. There's no question. Although, if you actually look at his defensive metrics, and somebody mentioned this on the broadcast the other day, it's a little overstated how good of a defender he is. Like, his arm strength is, I'm looking at it now just to verify with the numbers. 57th percentile. I mean, not terrible, but his arm value is 41 percentile. His range has dropped precipitously, 29%. In the range department. Like, and I just say that not to spit numbers at you here, but really because the thing that you always hear about Grisham, God, he's such an amazing, he's one of the best center fielders. I mean, he's good. I always think it's a little overstated, and those numbers basically say that I'm right. And I'm looking at even further, his base running value is in the 4th percentile. He's basically responsible for -3 runs on the bases. I just say that to paint the full picture, not to bombard you with numbers. But the thing about Trent is his real value is he's making $5 million. Now, for him to remain a Yankee, they're going to, I don't know what he's going to command. I still don't think that baseball views him as anything a lot more than what he is. Kind of an outlier season. Not that he's not going to get a 2 or 3. He'll probably get if I had a guess on Grisham, I was going to say 2 plus an option. It really might be 3 plus his option, or maybe 3 plus a team. I'd probably get 3 guaranteed somewhere. He's not going to get crazy bank. But the problem with Trent Grisham, if you bring him back, and I'd be open to it, but then what the hell are we doing with Spencer Jones? Is he ever going to get a shot? Like, say if Bellinger, it's all, there's a lot at play. It's really hard to answer this today, but I'll give you I'll give you a roadmap. I don't think Bellinger wants to go, and I don't think the Yankees want him to go. I think he stays. All right, so obviously Goldschmidt's going to be gone. 1 year, 12 and a half. See ya. You know, Ben Rice probably going to be doing more and more and more catching. They like him better there than they do at first base. I ideally, like in a perfect world, now, of course, this is not going to happen, but in a perfect world, I've got Bellinger playing first base 75% of the time next year, and he'd be an elite plus defender. I got Judge and Wright. I've got Jones or Dominguez in center, and then the other one in left. But does anybody really think that's going to happen? Like, I don't think the Yankees are not going to start the season that way. Now, they won't overpay Grisham. They might overpay Bellinger, and I would. I think Bellinger is just so much better than Grisham. And Grisham's had a really good year. Belly's the guy. 888-808-1019. Mickey in Wolcott, Connecticut. What up, Mick?
Hey, brother. Thank you for taking my call, as always. Hope you guys are doing amazing.
Good day so far, Mickey. Yep, go ahead.
So I'm going to use an analogy in a sense, right? So in basketball, we got the sixth man of the year kind of situation. A lot of people don't realize, you know, being a sixth man just doesn't mean just the highest scorer. It could be the highest defense player. It could be the momentum switcher in a game. It could be so many different factors.
Yep.
And last year, there's no doubt that Mr. OMG was that person. The year before that, coming off of his injury, I think Diaz was that person. This year, we've been always looking for that person. I think we even hoped that Alvarez was that person. But when you keep getting hurt, it can't be you.
Yeah.
It has to be Marky V. We've been screaming from the top of the mountains. It has to be Marky V. And if it's not him, who is it going to be? It can't be Alonso. We know he's expected to do what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. It can't be Soto. He's expected to do same thing for Lindor. It has to be somebody. And if Marky V is going to pick up that mantle, it could be what ultimately changes this whole thing. It can even be the new pitcher that we just brought up that he's doing amazing.
Yeah,
we need that unsung hero. We need that sixth man of the year.
Yeah, I feel it. I'm with you there, Mick. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like the Mets just made two more trades. I mean, they just traded for a righty who can hit in Vientos and a starting pitcher who looks filthy so far. Yeah, I mean, that's why you feel a little bit different about this Mets team. There's no doubt moving forward. Now, how different? I don't think they win the division. I've said that a million times. They're not going to win the division. But it doesn't really matter. I think the next evaluation is Manaea today. And if he doesn't get it together one more time through the rotation, and if you just don't see signs, you're going to have to believe that this is kind of who he is this year. Let me get Steve in New Fairfield, Connecticut. Steve.
Hey, what's up, BT? How are you, bro?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. Two players I want to talk about real quick.
Yep.
McMahon, do you look to upgrade? He paid two more years after this year. Are you happy with him? I know it's not a huge sample size, but would you look to upgrade there?
I mean, it doesn't matter what I would do. They're not going to, because $16, $17 million he's on the hook for. Here's the problem with Ryan McMahon. He can't hit a good fastball, and that's never going to change. I knew he struck out a lot, obviously, but I didn't really see him play a ton with Colorado, except against the Mets and the Yankees for the most part. I knew he was an elite fielder. I knew he was a great third, and he is. He's a great third baseman. But I thought he was, I knew he was a high strikeout guy, but I thought he can handle some heat, and I thought with Yankee Stadium and some better bats around him, he'd be a better hitter. But this guy swings and misses.
I thought he got more pop.
He can't hit a fastball.
I know it hasn't been a long sample size, but I thought he got more pop. How many homers does he have?
He's got one.
Yeah.
I know. But no, they're not going to upgrade that. Go ahead.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
With Valley, I don't know if you answered the question. I know I caught the tail end of your last caller.
Yep.
How far? I mean, I think he's my favorite Yankee after 1 year. He's better than I damn thought at this age, especially. Just does everything, defense, great attitude, everything.
I love him.
With the two strikes, how many players in that team choke up and go the other way with two strikes?
Yes.
He's everything, he's everything we moan about everybody else.
In a lot of ways, Steve, think about this. Steve, he would have fit right in with those championship Yankees. Not saying he would have been, the best on the team, but his style, his ability to hit the other way and run and field. He's just a baseball player, man. He's a pleasure to watch. And I remember when he was it when he went to the Cubs? Yeah, because Sal and I were talking about him maybe coming to the Yankees and more specifically the Mets. And at that point, I didn't really think the Yankees needed him. I'm like, I think he'd be good for the Mets. I think he'd fit you guys. And I remember having that conversation. And one of the stats that I pointed to, so this wasn't last year. This was the year before. He led baseball in two-strike batting average. And the knock on, now think about this, guys, because this is where numbers can get a little twisted and we can lose perspective. The knock on Bellinger a couple of years ago was that his average exit doesn't hit the ball hard enough. It was backed up by the velo, right? Well, my counter to that was, all right, I understand he doesn't rip it like Stanton. He never will. But when you choke up and you just look to flick the ball the other way or up the middle with two strikes, you know, you're going to have a lot of soft contact, but you're not going to strike out as much. So what would you rather have, a higher average exit velo or more balls in play? I know my answer. More balls in play. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, let me get Andrew in Allentown. Living here in Allentown. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? I was watching the show yesterday, and I thought you said it perfect about the Yankees, how we just have no fire.
No.
You know, I'm watching the game last night, and yeah, sure, we're up 10-0, but, you know, bottom or top of the ninth, you know, we give up five. You know, it's just like typical Yankees. We get ahead on the bad guys, beat up the bad teams, and then when we need to play a competitive series, you know, we're nowhere to be found. I feel like we just have no grit. We have no fight.
No, they don't. They don't. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, where's the heart? I mean, where's the fortitude? I just don't see it. And listen, the runs that they gave up with De Los Santos, who was sent packing, and Leiter, I wouldn't lump that. I don't want to be unfair to the Yankees here. Let's not lump that into the Yankees having no fire when they go to their lower leverage arms and they give up five runs. Like, no, I don't think that that's fair. I don't think it's applicable to last night. I do think it's applicable to this current roster and really this season and other seasons, you know? Yeah, there's just, they don't have, I've said it a million times, they don't have dogs. They don't have enough dogs. They just don't. And I don't understand why, now, Caballero had the one hit, I don't think he stole the base, but he had the one hit last night, turned a nice double play, gives you a little juice. Like, I don't understand why Anthony Volpe was probably a lefty going to lefty-righty thing, matchup thing, but I don't understand why he was granted assurances that he's playing today no matter what. So today's Tuesday, and Anthony told us after Sunday night's game that he's going to be out of the lineup again. In, you know, Sunday, didn't play Sunday. This was him speaking after the game against the Red Sox Sunday night. I'm not playing Monday, but I'll be back in there on Tuesday. And I'm sitting here saying, why? If Caballeros goes out and steals two bags and gets two hits and the Yankees win, you're not playing. Like, I wouldn't play him. And I've probably been his biggest supporter. I said, no way I'm sending him down. But I did say that I would sit him at multiple points this season. And I stand by it. Yankees won last night. They had good energy. Why just thrust them back in there? I don't know that I wouldn't do that. But it looks like they're going to.
Let's head out to Trenton, New Jersey. It's Eric. It's the fan. What's going on, Eric?
Moose. What's going on, brother?
Eric, I'm well, man. How about yourself? Good.
I'm good. So, I've heard a lot of people say that the Yankees are wasting Judge's years. And my thing is that I think that they are wasting Stanton's years because he's the guy that shows up in the playoffs every year, you know, not Judge. He's been there for 7 years now, only a year less than Judge. And, you know, if his performance is what carried them, it's Judge, it's the other players that have not held their end of the bargain up. I think that Stanton's probably been one of the better Yankees over the past 7 years. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, Stanton's been great in October. There's no doubt. It's almost like they change bodies when you get to October, where you get Stanton turns into this generational player in the playoffs and kind of Judge's meek. And that's not doing Stan credit, but you're talking about a guy that at one point in time was the MVP of the National League when he was with the Marlins. So,
exactly.
You know, got paid a ton of money. The Yankees, you know, Marlins didn't want to pay it. They got him for set, you know, pennies on the dollar in that trade with Miami and brought him here. Yeah. Like I've mentioned before, my appreciation for Giancarlo Stanton has grown over the years. From, you know, when we got into him getting booed at Yankee Stadium, all the conversations we've had on this very radio station, he's handled it very, very classy. There's been no thumbs down. There's no been taking on the fans. There's been none of that. You know, he's taken it all in stride. I think what Boone talks about now with Giancarlo Stanton is true. I think he wants to win. You know, I do. And I think you're seeing the best version of Giancarlo Stanton. So you can look at it. The difference is, is that Judge is, you know, a generational regular season player. From what he's been able to accomplish, the combination of power and speed is remarkable. He's a plus defensive player as well. Now he's got to do his part in the playoffs and play to that kind of level, which he has had a very difficult time of doing and has been more of a disappointment than anything else. So when we talk about wasting years, is you have a guy like, and you can look at Stan too, you can, you know, but you know, when you look at Judge being a homegrown Yankee, a guy that was drafted by the Yankees, a guy that came up, you know, without the fanfare of being the Martian and all this stuff, struck out a ton early, made the adjustment, you know, and has become this guy that the rare combination, especially in today's day and age, of being able to hit for average, but be able to drive the ball over the fence. He's been great. And so with the fact he's homegrown and he's been this great and he's in his, you know, mid to early 30s, you want to try and win a championship. Like if Judge's career comes to an end as a Yankee and he doesn't win a World Series, you know, that'd be massively disappointing. You know, if you go back to 2017, if you go back 8 years ago and I ask Yankee fans, well, if you transport yourself 8 years later and go to 2025, do you think that group would win a World Series? You undoubtedly would have said, yes, they haven't. They've been to one. You know, and that's the other aspect of it, too. We could talk about this World Series drought for the Yankees and say, well, they haven't won a World Series since 2009, which is true. They've been to one. Like, it's not like they're dominating the American League either. You know, they haven't. And, you know, I don't want to hear about the cheating scandal with the Houston Astros. You know, I really don't. The Yankees have been more of a disappointment than anything else come playoff time. And that narrative's got to change. So however way you want to couch it, Eric, you know, I think a lot of Yankee fans appreciate Stanton more now than they ever did before. And I think you're seeing the best version of Giancarlo Stanton in the regular season than we've ever seen. He's been remarkable. I mean, it really has, and deserves, you know, all the love and affection as rowdily as you booed him early on in his Yankee tenure at Yankee Stadium. You should cheer him now because he deserves it and deserves all that kind of love. At Cranford, New Jersey, we go. It's Larry. It's the fan. What's going on, Larry?
Oh, hey, Mark. Thanks for having me on your show.
Larry. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I want to answer your question before about Anthony Volpe and has he gotten worse? And yet, I think obviously he has. I think the question is it irreversible or not? And I don't think it's irreversible. He just has to get back to doing what made him great, you know, in the minor leagues and in high school and everything, the minors. And I think that's just a level swing. Like, if you look at these players like Tino Martinez and Don Mattingly, they had level swings, and they used to hit tons of home runs. And I don't know why they do this uppercut metrics, and it drives all these players to change their mechanics. I think that screwed him up. It's not irreversible, but he's got to be sent down, and they have to play Caballero the rest of the season. Batting average matters. Caballero doesn't have great batting average either, but I think he's just a different player and more energetic right now. But they have two automatic outs at the bottom of their lineup. They got Volpe and Wells. You can't have two automatic outs. Batting average matters. People say it doesn't, but it matters. I'm sorry, it matters. So we gotta get Caballero in there the rest of the year. They'll make the playoffs. See what happens with him. You know, Wells, you're kind of stuck with him. You know, you could put Rice the catcher the rest of the year, but I don't think you can do that right now. But anyway, those are my thoughts. What do you think?
Larry, but that's today's day and age of baseball. And, you know, there's going to be guys in the analytics department, they don't stress batting average. They don't. I mean, that's why you're getting, you know, a lot of the conversations about, you know, when Luis Arraez hits free agency with the San Diego Padres, you know, what is his value going to be this upcoming offseason? Because he's a guy, not a great defensive player, but he hits for a good average. And we've seen that over the course of his career. So with Volpe, yeah, I mean, you want to say that they've changed his swing? It has not been to the positive. You know, his on base percentage when you look at Anthony Volpe is .269. I mean, it's just terrible. Automatic outs at the bottom of that lineup. Yeah, and you know, the level swing. You can go back to guys like Tino Martinez, Don Mattingly. It's a different era of Major League Baseball. That's no longer emphasized. Guys are looking at launch angle. They want to hit the ball over the fence. Strikeouts are not that big of a deal. Players are graded out differently now than they ever were before. Now, that is obviously something to do with the adaptation and the way that bullpens are used, and you're not going to see a starting pitcher third time through the lineup, and the velocity, everything is king, and the max effort, and, you know, that's where where we're at. That's what makes McClain so refreshing when you're looking at the New York Mets, is that it's not necessarily based on just pure velocity, throwing the ball 103 miles an hour. You're still going to get that, you know, with some of these guys coming up through the farm system, but that is not him. And the ability to go out there and mix up pitches and throw six different pitches, be competitive in the strike zone, throw 95 pitches last night and throw 71 of them for strikes. That's refreshing. I mean, it really is. When you look at a guy that's not just, well, if he's not hitting the right spot with his velocity, he's going to get hit. And it's more about location than anything else. When you watch McClain work, and what's refreshing is it's a matter of watching a guy who is, at this stage, pitched really well and is, you know, knows how to pitch. He's not a thrower. Knows how to keep batters off balance. It was brilliant to watch. I mean, that's it. And that's what, and we're looking forward to see what Jonah Tong provides tomorrow night for the New York Mets. So you're not wrong about Volpe. You know, I don't know if they're necessarily going to get to, I mean, the Yankees are in that foxhole with Anthony Volpe. They just are, you know, and I don't know if we're ever going to get to the stage where, you know, they're going to put, I made the statement earlier in the show, bears worth repeating, that if you're looking at just saying, I'm going to roll the best team out there, regardless of the emotional connection or the fact of what it could do to the player. And maybe they feel like if they did that, they'd lose him completely. I don't know. You know, I don't have that relationship with Anthony Volpe. You know, I'm not managing the New York Yankees. But if you're going to make the argument, well, let's try and roll the best team out there. Can you really make the argument that Anthony Volpe as your starting shortstop is the Yankees' best version that they roll out there on a day-in, day-out basis? And what bothers me sometimes when you look at, and when you listen to Cashman, the Yankees use certain arguments to defend certain players and other arguments to defend others. As a team, when you get to October, it's a roll of the dice. You never know. You build for the regular season and you hope for the best come October. Right? That rationalizes out failure. It just does. Gives you an inherent excuse. When you listen to Volpe, a couple weeks back when Cashman was talking about his starting shortstop, he said, well, clearly what he did last year in October shows you what kind of an impact player he can be. Okay. Okay. I get that. And I understand Volpe's penchant for meeting the moment, which I give him a ton of credit for. But do you have any confidence that this version of Anthony Volpe in 2025 will have that kind of an impact come October?
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.